When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, y'all? This is Zach with Living Corporate, and if you didn't know, Living Corporate is an experiences management company, y'all. What does that mean? That means we help organizations support their go-to-market strategy through building market trust, as well as their employee engagement strategy by building employee trust. And how do we do that? Well, we have data analytics and organizational assessments. We have our e-learning platform, and we have our media capabilities, our brand storytelling capabilities. What you're about to listen to is an incredible conversation we had with the executive leader at Capgemini. Capgemini is a global consulting firm shaping the entire world, organizational transformation, digital transformation, technical implementations, you name it, Capgemini does it. So excited and thankful for this campaign. Shout out to Janet Pope. Shout out to the executive leadership team. I'm excited for you getting into this discussion. Here we go. Saul, welcome. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, Zach. How are you this morning?
You know what? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Look, I want to get right to it. You know, you're a sustainability executive at Capgemini. I'd love to understand how your role fits into the larger ecosystem, no pun intended, of the firm.
You bet. So let me, first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the airtime here, Zach. A little bit of background on me. I joined Capgemini about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, you know, my role in life here at Capgemini is to help advance the sustainability ambitions and journeys of our clients in the Americas. And of course, to do so while advancing our own ambitions on sustainability at Capgemini. I pinch myself every single day that I'm here. I don't think there's a better place to do well by doing good. I think our leadership from Iman all the way, to the BU leads and the business line leads in the Americas have demonstrated a commitment to sustainability unlike anything I've seen since I started my career. So just very happy to be here and thanks for having me.
Hey, look, it's an honor. I'm excited about the conversation we're going to have. And I mean, and I appreciate you slowing me down and backing us up a little bit. Let me re-ask, what is sustainability?
Well, look, it's a simple answer. Sustainability is living within our means. Mm. You know, we as a global community have spent a great deal of time living beyond our means and expending more resources than our fragile planet Earth is able to regenerate every year. So the simple answer to what is sustainability is to living sustainable, is to living in a way that respects the fact that this is a finite planet. This is a fragile place that we live in. This pale blue dot is not infinite, and it's more fragile than we've given her credit for, frankly. And so it's injecting that discipline, that philosophical thinking, to every decision we make in life.
That's tough, though, Saul. Like, okay, so if the concept of sustainability is living within or under one's means, like that's very hard to square in a late stage capitalist, highly consumerist society and culture. So I'm curious, right? Like, as we think about like sustainability continuing to be a topic and like priority for companies, how have you seen this work shift over the years? And frankly, like, I'm curious, what do you think? How do you believe that Capgemini's position has shifted and evolved?
Yeah. Well, look, you're exactly right, Zach. I mean, we have been for generations conditioned to think that bigger is better, that faster is better, mm-hmm. that scale is always better, and therefore we should want more. You know, we have lived under an industrial model that promotes conspicuous consumption, planned obsolescence, shareholder value over stakeholder value, and that has created a situation that we're in today, which is we are on a planetary scale spending more and using twice the resources that the planet Earth can generate annually. That's not sustainable. So how do you change that? We change that person by person by person. Now, the first way to change that is to highlight the enormity of the problem and the challenge before us. Never mind climate, because the climate problem is part and parcel of that. But it's highlighting the fact that indeed we are living in within finite circumstances, if you will. Mm-hmm. Number two is to work both sides of the equation. On the one hand is to get our regulatory agencies to force the discussion, to force reporting on what are you doing as an institution to be more sustainable than you are now? Mm-hmm. And what is it that you're not doing that's exposing you to future risk, number one. Mm-hmm. So on the policy regulatory side, we have to, as Capgemini, use the bully pulpit, and we have been, to continue to urge our policymakers to require that sort of reporting from our clients. And frankly, we do the same. But perhaps even more importantly, we as Capgemini need to work with our own clients and partners on the commercial side within industry to remind our counterparts in industry, our partners and our clients, that sustainability is not any longer a afterthought. It's not just a reporting requirement, but rather it represents a revenue opportunity for you. It represents growth opportunity. A sustainable business model is financially sustainable, every bit as it is resource sustainable. And that's something that we're doing very successfully at Capgemini. And in fact, we just released a report that we are beginning to see a change in the mindset of our partners and our clients in recognizing that, in fact, sustainability can be a profit center and not just a cost center.
Let's talk a little bit more about that report, because I wanted to ask about some goals and initiatives of Capgemini, but in light of the report that just got published, let's turn this into a highlight of the report. Some of the key things that you took away and that you hope, folks that read it take away.
Well, I think that probably the most important thing that I got from that report is that just 12 months ago, fewer than a third of senior executives that we spoke with regarded sustainability as mentioned earlier, an opportunity to grow a business and to opportunity to sort of grow revenues and to build new business lines, and did not see it necessarily as a priority. Whereas in 2023, just 12 months later, more than half of them see sustainability as something that they're going to commit to, and commit to not just because it's required reporting, but rather because it represents an opportunity to grow business. That to me is one of the seminal takeaways, frankly, of that report.
It's interesting too, because like when you talk about the idea of like, just because you're right, like my initial thing when we talk about sustainability, I think about, okay, consuming less, spending less. I think about contraction. I don't think about expansion. And I guess really honestly, probably because I'm a student of the models that I'm raised in, I definitely don't consider the retraction or the compression with, I don't correlate that to any type of like growth over time, right? Like just because I don't believe that we're conditioned to even think that way, frankly. So can we talk a little bit more about like how a strong sustainability strategy can contribute to a company's long-term success? Success is broad, so I'll give you space on success, but then also how it can contribute to long-term financial performance.
Well, look, at the end of the day, Zach, I mean, a business is going to grow if its constituents regard it as being valuable to the community, frankly. And so one of the things that's been enormously encouraging for me is the commitment to the environment, to social causes, to purpose by the younger generation of consumers. And thank goodness that they're getting to the point where they're going to be able to sort of bring their buying power to bear. And so I've got children in two different generations, and all six of them, thank goodness, are very conscious of the environmental impact, sustainability footprints of the products they buy. Not to different degrees, of course, but certainly any organization that plans on being in business in the next 50 years needs to regard this next generation of consumers as being important to them. And so are there revenue generating benefits to sustainability? If you plan to sell, whether it's tennis shoes or transportation or homes or whatever it is that the business that you're in, whether it's commercial real estate, whether it's consumer products, et cetera, and you regard those consumers as valuable, you ought to begin to think about, designing your products and services so that they minimize the impacts that they have on the environment, and frankly maximize the impacts they put back into society. So yes, it is something that it's certainly my hope that commitment on the part of the next generation consumers is not going away. And at the end of the day, that's what drives business growth.
You know, it's interesting, Saul, when I look at those who are focused in the ESG space more broadly, those who are really passionate about environmental sustainability across the world, there's more and more explicit conversations about systemic injustices, environmental racism, structural inequities, things of that nature. Are you there's a large school of thought that says it's really impossible to authentically engage in sustainability and conservative conversations without looking at systemic injustices or societal issues at large and the interconnectedness of it. Do you agree with that, or do you believe that these things can kind of be engaged in a vacuum?
No. I absolutely agree with the notion that to be sustainable, we all have to be sustainable, and it makes zero sense to have a positive impact on one aspect of society at the expense of another. I mean, for example, there's a great deal of discussion around what's happening around the Amazon rainforest. And I speak to this all the time, and my colleagues at Capgemini fortunately do the same. And let me give you a startling statistic. I was involved in launching a program called Energy Star, which you may be familiar with. And I was one of the founders and launched it and ran it for quite some time. It's now a 30-year program. Over the course of its entire history, that program has reduced greenhouse gas emissions to the tune of 5 billion metric tons of carbon equivalent, which is like taking a billion vehicles off the road, which is about five times the U.S. fleet. Now, the Amazon rainforest just over the Brazilian section became a net emitter of greenhouse gases for the first time ever last year in 2023. And it resulted in greenhouse gas emissions of 5 billion metric tons of carbon equivalent. So it essentially erased the entire success of that Energy Star program in 1 year. Why am I mentioning that? Because there's a great deal of discussion about what we can do. Well, there are a lot of indigenous communities in the Amazon rainforest that rely on deforestation, that are building, artisanal businesses around that are benefiting, frankly, from the fact that we are cutting trees in the Amazon. So how do you address that? We can't ignore the reality that for us to curb or reverse the massive amount of forestation that's happening above the Brazilian section of the rainforest, that's not going to displace certain communities. So we have to find places for them as well. So a fully sustainable approach needs to embrace, yes, all parts of society. We can't leave anyone behind. There's a great deal of discussion around, narrowing the digital divide. The same thing when 5G became, mainstream, if you will, there's a lot of discussion around, does it in fact have the kind of, positive impacts on underserved populations in the inner city. And there was a great deal of investment by the major technology firms to make sure that no one was left behind. The same thing holds with sustainability. No doubt about it.
You know, when we talk about the digital divide and frankly, like just technological empowerment of different communities, like something that is, I know top of mind for Capgemini as like most professional services firms and frankly, like most tech companies in the world right now is AI, right? There's so much excitement about AI, but I know that there's a large bit of effort to point to the reality that AI consumes a ton of water, right? Like these machines use a ton of water. I know that Capgemini, like I said, like most tech companies are excited about generative AI and ways that it can help not only enhance and create value for themselves, but also their clients. But I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts on ways that organizations can leverage this technology while at the same time honoring its sustainability goals? Living Corporate is brought to you by Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program. It's incredible. Okay, so first off, if you didn't know, Rosetta Stone is a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They have fast language acquisition, meaning you're actually going to pick up the language because it's going to provide an immersive experience for you through their program. Speech recognition gives you a trainer for your accent. Convenient, right? You can use it on your computer. You can use it on your phone. Incredible value. Lifetime membership has all languages for any and all trips or language needs in life. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. That's a steal, y'all. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, Living Corporate listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. This podcast, Living Corporate, it's brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with the audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place on your terms. Let me tell you something. Y'all might not know this, but Living Corporate, we started our whole journey on Squarespace. My website, ZacharyNunn.com, it's on Squarespace. I can't tell you how much I appreciate its fluid engine, the ability to create world-class templates and design. It's very intuitive, incredible. We have custom merch through our Squarespace. We have an incredible asset library so I can always mix it up, switch and swap. It's super dope. And the fact that you can host all types of content, video, audio, all types of media, you can put all on your Squarespace. I can't recommend it enough. If you want to learn more about Squarespace, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/corporate to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/corporate to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, because we've been doing a lot of thinking within the sustainability leadership team about how best to deploy AI. And by the way, specifically generative AI, mm-hmm. to help some of us solve some of our problems. So you're exactly right that it currently uses a disproportionate amount of water, and it certainly represents a disproportionate level of greenhouse gas emissions. And so we talked a lot about this, but look, that doesn't mean that generative AI can't solve its own problem. One of the things that we've begun to think about here within the Americas team of Capgemini and sustainability is whether we can deploy generative AI to help address one of the significant problems on scope 3 emissions. You know, less than 1% of scope 3 emissions are yet to be measured. They're all modeled. And so can we sort of deploy, if you will, generative AI to identify those greenhouse gas hotspots across a global supply chain to help address them and pinpoint them and of course, engage suppliers to reduce that? We think there's an enormous opportunity to do that. The other opportunity is an obvious one, which is why not deploy generative AI to help fix itself? There's no reason why generative AI can't answer that question. Now, I don't know exactly what that battery of questions is, but that would be a compelling set of a set of questions and an exciting exercise, wouldn't it? If we deploy generative AI to help sort of reduce its own solution stack, how does it sort of deploy machine learning perhaps in an expedited manner so that it doesn't have to scan the market for answers and terminology if in fact those can be learned very quickly, and those paths don't have to be sort of repaved, if you will. So the quicker ironically, Zach, the more we deploy generative AI to address sustainability, the smarter it gets and the less impact it has on water usage and greenhouse gas emissions, because it will have already learned the pathways to answer the subsequent questions.
That's a very interesting answer, Saul. That's really cool. Thank you. I would imagine, right, just like the nature of your work, there's an ecosystem that you're engaging literally, but then there's also like the ecosystem of Capgemini. Can you talk about like some of the relationships that you're having, that you have to manage internally to progress the sustainability strategy for the Americas at Capgemini? I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, I think Capgemini is sort of the perfect combination of a culture that embodies and rewards entrepreneurship, adaptability, innovation, ideation, creativity, but at the same time has the sort of the global horsepower, if you will, to move something at scale and quickly. So I have found that to be just quite exciting for me. Mm-hmm. And so how do you do that? What I try to do, Zach, is to simplify the message, because at the end of the day, we are all consultants and we sometimes get away from speaking the simple story. Mm-hmm. And so when I get in front of our teams, whether it's our business unit leads or business line leads, or our global leads for that matter, I try to sort of simplify it. I say to them, look, no matter what conversation you're having with a client and no matter what problem you are attempting to solve for them, there is a sustainability aspect to that. If they're working in buildings with LED lights, there's a sustainability aspect. If they have any relationship to the products and services that business procures on a daily basis, monthly basis, annual basis, there is a sustainability aspect to that. If they're working, from home, there's a sustainability aspect to that. If they're using a platform like this one. So start there. Do we have the deep solution architects to come in and sort of assess the overall sort of environmental impacts of the work that our clients have across the enterprise? Absolutely. But we don't have to start there. Have a conversation with your counterpart at the client and ask them whether they're involved in procurement and whether they have the opportunity to ask the question, hey, did we consider the sustainability posture of this product when we made the decision to buy product A versus product B? If not, why not? And if so, can we do it across other products and services as well? So the conversation is a simple one. And we need to simplify it, and we need to tell the stories. And we're increasingly doing that. Because as you well know, Zach, we do tend to be, we sometimes come in trying to solve our clients' problems from the get-go. Let's listen to what they have to say first and simplify. And then when the time is right to do the surgery, we'll come in and do the surgery. No doubt about it.
Saul, this has been a phenomenal conversation, man. Look, I got a couple more for you. I'm gonna respect your time. You talked a little bit earlier about like the next generations and their impact with their dollars and how they're gonna be able to help shape and influence this world in a more sustainable way. When you think about the next generation of employee coming into the workforce, especially those who are really passionate about sustainability, like what advice do you have for them? What excites you about that next generation? Like, I'm just curious, like what your perspective is, right? Because it's always reach one, teach one. There's succession happening. I'm curious how you feel about this next group of leader coming into this space.
I'll tell you why I tell them every day. I mean, I say, look, this is an opportunity for you to participate in an existential solution. Not problem, but to participate in something unlike anything else that you might that you might participate in. The ability to sort of work with Capgemini, work through Capgemini, use the power of the company that we work for to fundamentally change the way business thinks is unlike anything that you could possibly, you know, encounter elsewhere. Now, look, you know, we all know there are other organizations that are doing this work, but the reason I'm here is because it's part of our DNA. This is not an afterthought for us. If you've heard our leadership talk about it, this is fundamentally part of our DNA. You know, the three S's that we talk about is storytelling, being very strategic, and being sustainable, full stop. And so what I tell our young people is join us. You know, what could possibly be more important in life than to help us think as a global community about the importance of being sustainable and reducing, you know, our emissions, our greenhouse gas emissions. And we can do that, you know, every day, every hour of every day with any conversation we could possibly have. And in fact, we're doing that, you know, globally, and we're doing it in the Americas, which is, by the way, why our business is succeeding in the Americas. We've grown the business from, you know, 70 million in 2022 to just north of 500 million in 2023. It's unlike anything, you know, I've certainly been involved in, and I'm very excited about it. And we expect that growth to continue. And it's been in large part because of the support that we've gotten from our leadership and because of the work that our people are doing. And our young folks are absolutely indispensable, Zach. The second call I made when I arrived at Capgemini was to the individual who ran our sustainability ERG. We now call it Ocean. And we reached out to them. And within a couple of few weeks, we had 300 very engaged, very enthused, very committed young level A's, what we call level A's and level B's, interested in participating in this, in what we're doing.
That's incredible. You know, it's interesting. So we're in this season right now. And for the sake of like posterity, I'll say, like, you know, we're recording this at the top of 2024, right? So we're in the middle of this election cycle. There's a bunch of talking heads who are demonizing sustainability, anything around diversity, anything around equity or inclusion, anything that would seem like you're actually helping or trying to protect anything or anyone, is really kind of in the middle of a lot of folks' sights right now. And everyone is not Capgemini, right? Like, every organization doesn't necessarily have the clarity of focus and vision and purpose to just like push ahead with sustainability in the same ways. Like, what advice would you give to executive leaders who maybe feeling the social pressures from these talking heads, as well as maybe curiosity or skepticism from some of their clients, but they still want to figure out ways to be more sustainable? Like, what things would you tell them?
Well, look, it's hard to do this work, certainly in the United States, and not be aware of the partisan nature of the discussions across all topics, including, of course, climate change and sustainability and environmental justice, et cetera. I mean, it is something that is hard to ignore. The way that I see it is that all the topics that we've talked about, Zach, transcend politics. And we, at the end of the day, each of us who's in a position to make a change, to have a simple conversation with someone, to make a simple change in our lives, to expand that to 10 people, to 100 people, we need to do that. And we need to do it now. And we need to become active in that regard, whether through the work that we do or through the stuff that we do at home or how we play, how we interact, et cetera. And as I said, there's not been a better time. And look, we're not going to politicize this conversation, but we have an opportunity with the Biden administration at the moment to ride that as much as we can, because, you know, they have given us a gift, which is they've given us a gift not only of investment, but also of voice in all of these discussions. And what I tell people, let's take that and run with it. It is, of course, what I believe and what I tell our young people and the older generations as well, which is we have an opportunity now. If not us, then who? If not here, then where? If not, you know, now, then when? And we sit at the intersection of all those, of all of that. And so, yes, this is a golden time for us. I've been doing this, Zach, for 32 years. As I mentioned back, started my career with the Environmental Protection Agency with the Energy Star program. But I don't believe I've ever been, involved and been present in a time where there was more opportunity to promote what we believe in.
Saul Salinas, man, it's been a fire conversation. Hey, man, you're dynamic. We gotta get you back on the show, man. This was good. This was good. Look,
I'm happy to be here, Zach. Anytime.
Hey, man. Looking forward to everybody hearing this, and we'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Okay.
Great
to see you.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, y'all, that does it for us today at Living Corporate. Thank you so much for checking out the pod. Make sure you click the links in the show notes to learn more about Capgemini and all the incredible work they're doing all around the world. Very excited. See y'all next time. Till then, peace.
Living Corporate is a podcast by Living Corporate LLC. Our logo was designed by David Dawkins. Our theme music was produced by Ken Brown. Additional music production by Antoine Franklin for Musical Elevation. Post-production is handled by Jeremy Jackson. Got a topic suggestion? Email us at livingcorporatepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and living-corporate.com. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.